thought your style was more having these guys go out in the torrential
rain. Absolutely. I wanted to be outside. I was advised by our field guys that if we went out there, we'd probably be in the mud for the rest of the year. So we just sacrificed this one. But it hurt to go inside. It really did.
You know, Bill, I don't know. You probably expected to see Teddy Bruschi here today.
I did expect to see Teddy. Where is Teddy?
Yeah, well, you know, it was a big hype. He was supposed to be a big addition to the Big Show and couldn't make it today. I mean, it ever happened when he played for you?
No, 10 years, never missed anything, was never late for anything. I'm surprised he's not here.
Hold on for just a second. Mr. Bruschi?
Hey, I'm just a little bit late, guys.
How you doing, Teddy?
I'm doing all right, Bill. Hey, during my entire career, was never late or anything like that. No snowstorm ever kept me away from missing a team meeting.
Nope, never.
You retire, you know, things change a little bit. So I'm here on your phone.
You're on your own program.
So it's just a lack of respect for the media. That's what it comes down to, right?
Yeah, you know, we're in the locker room. You're seen as, you know, I'm part of the other side now. So I know there's a different set of rules I follow, and it's, you know, luckily for me, they're not as strict. Yeah,
Teddy, they call it the dark side. Get used to hearing that from time to time. Well, let's start, Bill, talking about Thursday night. Was it any different for you in that you didn't have all the OTAs, you didn't have a lot of the, you know, the different camps that you normally have? Was that any different for you?
Well, it was leading up to it, but in the end, we just went with what we felt like we could do, and it was probably a little bit less than we've had in some other years, but you know, that was okay. We there were a lot of things we need to work on. We picked those out and tried to emphasize them and work on them.
Did you have to get to see more of the young kids, not just the first-year players, but the second-year players, because you didn't see as much of them in the offseason?
I think that's a big reason why we kind of played the game as we did, Glenn. You know, we played one group for basically the first half and then played another group for the second half, so they got quite a bit of extended playing time. We were able to evaluate them, you know, series after series, their conditioning, their stamina, their ability to process information, you know, make a mistake, come to the sideline, correct it, go back out there, do it the next time, you know, see if we can get it right and do it better, things like that. So it wasn't it was a longer period of playing time for fewer players was what it ended up being.
Yeah, and Bill, but one of those players was Taylor Price. It seemed like at times you guys were not, you know, sort of forcing the ball to him to give him a good look. You put him back on punt returns, and it looked like how he responded by the numerous reps that you were giving him.
I thought he responded very well, Teddy. You know, Taylor did a great job of catching the ball. He made a couple of tough catches inside, and then after with the ball in his hands, he, you know, made a nice run there on the hitch pattern outside where he broke down the sideline for whatever it was, 50-yard gain. So I think Taylor, you know, really showed up kind of like he did last year in the Miami game at the end of the season where he got a chance to play and he made some plays. So he's had a good camp, and we'll just, you know, hopefully he can keep putting those plays together and string them and have some consistency.
You know, you mentioned
the touchdown pass that he had, the little bit of delay. I mean, you guys had some questionable calls, the Ridley run that got reviewed, the Price catch that got reviewed. What did you think about that new rule where they had to delay the game and look at every single scoring play?
It certainly slowed it down on a couple of those, but I guess the alternative is that, you know, maybe they would have been challenged anyway. I don't know, one or both of them, but that's the way it is, and so we'll just go along with that. But I thought Taylor's catch on the touchdown was really an outstanding catch. The ball's behind him, and it did look like the ball might have been moving just a little bit, but I guess he was able to, you know, to gain control of it prior to, you know, while both of his feet were on the ground. So it was a, you know, it was an outstanding play by Taylor. And but yeah, that if that's the way it's going to be, then it'll probably take a little bit longer there on the scoring plays, no doubt.
A couple minutes ago, you mentioned the evaluation process, and I've been wanting to ask you about this because we've all been speculating what's it going to be like for head coaches and general managers. No OTAs, rookies, free agents haven't been in. It's going to be a challenge. What's it been like so far evaluating these guys compared to what it was like in a normal offseason for you?
Well, I think, Michael, it was just we got a late start. That's the big thing. We just started late. We probably the first week, 8-9 days of training camp, a lot of it was just putting our team together. We brought in people that weren't with the team last year. We signed some free agents. Our draft choices, by the time they all got in, about a week had gone by. We made a couple trades. So the acquisition of some players. We also released some players that are with us at the end of the year. So it took us about a week just to kind of get our roster a little more set than what it was when we started camp. I think also there's a big learning curve for the rookies coming in. So it took them, you know, a little while. And, of course, the veterans who hadn't done it in 6 months and the coaches who hadn't coached it in 6 months, it took all of us a little bit of a time to get back into a groove and a routine with, you know, guys that couldn't practice. And then a week later, some of those guys could practice, even though they were here for meetings. So the whole thing with the first week or so was really kind of, I don't want to say disorganized, but it was hard to get the most out of those practices. But I think after that, after it was like August 3rd or whatever that date was, that Thursday, we kind of got into a flow after that, and I think we've got a lot more done since then.
What was the planning like in the off season with the great uncertainty? Did you have plan A, plan B, plan C? Is that how you played it out?
Down to plan S. We started in March, and we thought, okay, if we start the OTAs on schedule, here's what we'll do. And then, well, if it gets pushed back a little bit, and then there was that period right there at the end of March, right around the owners' meetings, where it looked like something might happen, and I guess the deal got pulled off the table or whatever it was. And then it was April around the draft, and then we were thinking about, okay, mini camps, and then there was talk about in June, and then we thought, well, okay, well, mini camps in June instead of in May, and then we thought possibly that there might be some type of early camp, early reporting in July prior to the start of training camp. And, you know, ultimately it didn't get done until, you know, it was late enough where they had to cancel the Hall of Fame game. So, but from a preparation standpoint, we just kept pushing back and pushing back and pushing back and pushing back, because we had to be ready in case the starting gun went off.
Yeah, and then having said all of that, all the adjustments you guys have had to make, players, coaches, you still go out there in the first preseason game, you win 47-12. So in terms of, I know you always look for coachable moments. Coming away from that game, there was a lot of positives offensively, defensively. Talk about what you talked to the team about maybe improving from that game versus Jacksonville.
Well, I think some of the things we need to do better, Teddy, would be number one, taking care of the ball offensively. We had the ball out five times. We fumbled five times. A couple of times they blew us down, or it didn't really count as a fumble, but, you know, balls were loose. And so that was an emphasis for us this week, and also getting the ball. You know, we only had one turnover. Of course, that was by a receiver. So we got to do a better job of, you know, turning the ball over defensively, causing fumbles, holding on to interceptions, things like that. I didn't think our return game was very good. Taylor had a good return, but that was nullified by one penalty, and they probably could have been another one called as well. So we didn't get much out of the return game. Turnovers, those are a couple things. Of course, we had some execution on plays that, as you can imagine, was a little less than ideal, but I think we can hopefully coach that and learn from it and go out there and do it better the next time around. But turnovers in our return game.
You move it up 5 yards, they kick it all the way down, you're going to get touchbacks, but kicking into the lighthouse, it looked like the kicks were still very returnable, and then still there was a long return against you.
Right. And our kickoff coverage wasn't, you know, we had the one long return. There were also a couple other ones that were kind of close. So we got to do a better job on our coverage teams, our return teams. And you're right, I think that there's going to be some decisions by the returners more so than in the past as to whether to stay in or bring it out. And, you know, there's always a couple of those, but I think there's going to be a lot more of them now because that ball can land, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 yards deep in the end zone. And then now what's the returner going to do with it? Is he going to stay or going to go? Whereas in previous years, there were fewer balls coming down in that spot. So That's an adjustment, too.
You start off by talking about taking care of the ball with Hernandez putting the ball on the ground a couple times early in the game. Does he understand when defenders see that on film, on preseason film, on regular season film, they see a guy that's possibly a ball security target, they no longer focus on making the secure tackle, they'll start tackling the ball. Has anything been emphasized to him that one more fumble and he's going to have a target on his back, or a reputation maybe as someone that has poor ball security?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's one of the things that we see in preseason, that if you have a weakness, whether it's ball security or whether you're a pass protector and you get beat outside, or whether you're a defender and you get beat on certain routes, whatever it is, that's now kind of going in the book. And You know, no reason not to try those patterns or those plays again next week until you show that you can stop them. So not only has the ball security been emphasized to all the players on offense, exactly along the lines as you mentioned, but also other weaknesses that showed up in the game, things that we have to do better. And the next team that looks at the film now, Tampa, namely, you know, we'll see those things, and I'm sure to some degree they'll try to take advantage of them. I'm not saying it's going to be a big game plan thing, but, you know, they'll keep working things that we're not doing well, and we've got to correct those. So that absolutely, that's a big thing for us from week one to week two in preseason.
You've got lots of defensive linemen, new defensive linemen on your roster. One of them is Albert Haynesworth. We haven't been able to see him in practice for a while. How are you able to evaluate him with him not being in practice, and are you happy with what he's done, whatever he's doing, whether it's in meetings or just his professionalism? Are you happy with him so far?
Well, first of all, we have a number of players that haven't participated very much in the practices so far, and of course that's disappointing. We'd like to see all of them out there, but I do think that they're all working hard to get back, and they're getting better, and I think we're closing the gap there. You know, I think Albert's been great since he's been here. He's worked hard. He's done more than really what we've asked him to do. He's put in a lot of extra time and a lot of extra effort to get back on the field, to study, to catch up on things from a playbook standpoint that he's a little bit behind on. So I know he's working hard to get back out there. I'm sure he'll be back out there as soon as he can. We look forward to having him.
Is it realistic that we could possibly see him on Thursday?
Well, I'd say it's kind of a day-to-day situation, Michael, so we just take it one day at a time and see how it goes. You know, as I said, he's definitely making solid progress, and as are the other injured players that aren't out there. I think everybody's getting closer. We just, you know, every day, 2 days, we go out there, try it, see if, you know, how close they are, if they're really ready to participate or if they need a little bit more time. But I think we're getting to that point with several players where we're pretty close to turning the corner. So we'll just have to see when exactly that is with all of them.
Bill, talking about the defense, and we've talked a lot about the 3-4 versus the 4-3 over the years with you, and you've said it's not as simple as that. It's a hybrid. There's a lot of things we do out of that. The fact that you've come out with four down linemen, does that have more to say about the skill set of the players that you have right now, that you've got more of them in that front line? And how much does the nickel and dime, the fact that you're in it so often now because it's such a passing game, kind of negate a lot of that because you're taking that linebacker out an awful lot anyway?
Well, I certainly think there's a lot of carryover between our nickel defense and some of the things that we're doing on early downs in a four-man front. We've had a lot of experience in a three-man front, and we felt like in the first preseason game and in a number of our practices that we wanted to emphasize that so we can, you know, work on it and improve our techniques both in sub-nickel situations and also to some degree on early downs. So we wanted to get some experience on that, get it on film, correct it, and be able to improve on it, and we'll continue to do that. We also know how to run an odd front, and I'm sure that we'll, you know, we'll get to that in due course, too.
Or the two down linemen against Buffalo.
3-4 is always going to be in the package of the New England Patriot defense, but incorporating this 4-3, and everyone thinks a 4-3 is attack, penetrate up the gaps, but during the Jags game, getting hit by a quick inside trap for about 8 yards on the first drive, losing the edge on the running game. How hard is it to coach those guys, those upfront guys, when early on in their careers, it's two gap, and all of a sudden they're in a 4-3, and they want to penetrate. But wait a second, you also got to coach that. There are plays you got to diagnose.
Well, it's definitely a little bit of some new techniques that we're I wouldn't say they're new techniques that we're teaching. They're techniques that we're using more frequently than we did in the past. I think we used really everything that we're doing, but you know, just more, a little bit more of an upfield charge. You know, playing more on a shade of alignment rather than head up. But I think all that being said, the thing that I was pleased with in the game was, even though, as you mentioned, we got creased three or four times in the running game with, you know, issues at the run force or inside trap plays and that kind of thing, we were able to get on the sideline, draw them up, get it straightened out, and when those plays repeated later on in the game, we handled them a lot better the second and third time around. So I think that's one of the things we got to work on this week is you know, having a better overall understanding of more different kind of plays, because we're going to continue to see that. But when we do see something, if we can, you know, recognize the problem, get it fixed, and and then go back out there and take care of it, that, you know, that's a positive sign too. And I thought the players responded well to that on Thursday night.
When you see those plays the next time, the next game, they know how to play them the first time, and then you don't have to sideline adjust.
Exactly. Yeah, if we get through them the first time and not have to go through that, that's the way to go. But fortunately, I felt like we were able to get most of those things straightened out over the course of the game. And, you know, I think the assistant coaches and the players did a good job of that. And that was, you know, I mean, that's an important part of the game. As you know, you can't let, as a defense, you just can't let the offense keep doing the same thing over and over again. You got to at least stop their point, you know, their force of attack and point them in another direction. So,
right. The one thing you don't want to be in that defense is an error repeater.
That's right.
What happens, Teddy? What happens to error repeaters? What does Bill do?
Error repeaters, usually you don't see them much anymore.
Can't play.
I'll tell you, in the way that things are coached, there's a system from on paper to on film, in a walkthrough, in practice. There are various levels of learning visually, mentally, walking through at different speeds. Once you get to practice at full speed, and especially once you get to game, is when you should have things down. And so you make one problem, you get them fixed, you go back out there, the problem's fixed. This coaching staff believes once that problem's fixed, you probably should never see it again.
That's the idea. I mean, that's where you want to be. You don't want to be correcting the same things over and over again. Once you get them fixed, you want to, you know, take care of those and move on to other things that you're less familiar with and make sure you know, start working on those.
Speaking of the coaching staff, I see for the second year in a row, there's no defensive coordinator listed. What is the reason for that?
Oh, I just think that the responsibilities on defense, everybody's got them. We get them taken care of. I don't think titles are, you know, all that important. But I think our coaching staff, you know, the coaches that returned from last year, Patrick Graham, Pepper, and Matt Patricia, Josh Boer, I think those guys did a good job last year. They're at it again. Brian Flores is also assisting us on that side of the ball. So I feel good about the coaching staff. They work well together. They have a variety of responsibilities, and they all contribute to the coaching of the players and game plans and all that. So, you know, everybody's got a job to do, and hopefully collectively we can do it well.
And Bill O'Brien does have that title on the offensive side.
He does.
Any reason that he does and you haven't done it defensively on the defensive side?
No.
Okay. New players. You've brought some guys in. New players. I shouldn't say new players. You've brought some guys into camp today. Is this one of those that you're still searching? You still have some ideas? You still see some people out there on the board that you at least want to take a look at right now and see if they could possibly help this team?
Well, I think what's happened in the last 3 weeks is while we're in training camp, we're having to do some of the things that we normally would do in free agency in March and April. And, you know, March and April is a time when you visit players, you give them physicals, you talk to them, and you kind of get a sense of where they would be if you had them in your system, whether you actually sign them or not. But that's just part of the process. Of course, we weren't able to do any of that this year. And so when training camp started, there are a lot of players out there that are, you know, now still available. And really the question is, where are they, you know, physically? Where are they in terms of their career, if they're older players? Contractually, where are they, and so forth. And again, those are all free agency things that usually get taken care of in the spring. So we've had to do it in the last 3 weeks. We've been bringing players in every couple of days at all positions just to, you know, to know where we would go if we had an emergency, if we needed to sign somebody, and that kind of thing, which, you know, kind of happened with our linebackers here a couple of days ago. We, you know, we got caught a little bit, caught short, and so we signed Nico. And you know, he's been out there the last couple of days, but that's, you know, we had a problem and we had to reach out and find somebody and get it fixed with, you know, with Christian getting hurt in the the Jacksonville game, Christian Cox.
Yeah, Bill, when you bring in a lot of the veteran players that have a big body of work, though, like a lot of film, and maybe you've played against them multiple times, you're not bringing these guys in and doing a full combine workout, are you? Or is it just you just want to look them over and see how they are health-wise?
I'll tell you, I'd say we've worked out just about everybody that we've brought in. Yeah, I'd say we've worked them all out because they're going to be getting ready. I mean, if we were to sign them, they'd be playing football in a day or two later anyway. So I think it's important for us to see whether they're ready to go or not. In some cases, we've worked out a couple of players that really weren't in very good condition, and we felt like even if we did sign them, They probably wouldn't be able to practice very long or last out there. So what would the point be in doing that? Now, again, that's part of the process. You know, some guys are
reaction. You ever gotten a reaction from a veteran player who comes in and not expecting to do a true workout, and he says, "You want me to do what?"
Well, you know, that's definitely I've gotten that reaction in March and April, and you know, usually you talk to the player or his representatives about that before you bring him in. You know, here's what we want to bring this player in for. We're concerned about a certain injury that he's had. We need to give him a physical. You know, we want to look at this, we want to look at that, and so sometimes they agree to do that, sometimes they don't. I think the workouts in March and April are a lot different than the ones, you know, now in July and August. I mean, in March, you know, there are a lot of players that aren't in top condition at that point in the season, and that's not unusual. So at this point, it's a different story. Now it's July, it's right. August, we're playing football. You know, I think if a player's not ready to play now, then you don't really have a whole lot of time to wait and, you know, bring him in, get him in shape for 2 or 3 weeks, and preseason's over. So I think the workouts now are much more common. Same thing when you bring guys in during the season. You want to bring in 3 or 4 guys at a position just to see what's out there, you know, what your next move would be. It's pretty common to work them all out together.
Yeah.
If they don't want to work out, then that's, I mean, you know, we take that information and put it all together. But, I mean, that's usually not a good sign.
My guess is they're not around long, maybe an hour, hour and a half.
Everybody get your hand on the line and run the drill.
Yeah.
let me ask you about Chad Ochocinco, because we've talked about him over the years, and you've talked about the respect you have, and you've talked about the humor and the entertainment. But now it's a little bit different, because now he's on your team. And he has an ability to entertain and sometimes try to make himself the subject out there and have people look at him to the point where he's got a thing now where he wants to move in with one of the fans out there. Do you have any issues with this at all? I hear people talk about the Patriot way, and maybe this is not the Patriot way. Does this in any way affect the way you coach the guy?
Well, I think I can't really speak to what happens with other players on other teams and other situations. I evaluate them on what happens when they're here. And Chad's worked really hard. He's done everything that we've asked him to do. He's in excellent shape. He, you know, he starts early. He stays late. He practices hard. It's a new offense for him. He's put in a lot of time and effort to, you know, to work on it, get it down with his other receivers, with Tom, with the coaching staff, with Chad O'Shea and Billy O'Brien. So. You know, he's worked very hard, and I've been impressed with what he's done so far.
Yeah, the only example I can add to this defensively is when Junior was brought in. Junior had played in the league for so long, and he had his own way of doing things. But we knew that's Junior's way, and if that's the way he's doing it, if he's professional, he's getting his work done, and it sounds like Chad's doing it the same way, we will let it be that way. The younger players, Bill, like Hernandez, like Price, like Tate. Now, are you worried at all that they're going to see Chad and maybe it have it trickle down a little bit on the way they conduct themselves? Or do they know, listen, that's Chad. You do this. This is the way you're supposed to do certain things. That's Chad's way, not yours.
All right, well, again, Teddy, I'd just say Chad's done everything that we've asked him to do. He hasn't... you know, what we've asked all our players to do, including him, he's you know, gone above and beyond that. So, and I know some of the things he's doing are different than the way he's done them in the past, but he's been perfectly willing to take the way we, you know, coach our team, the way we run our team, and try to do the best that he can within those boundaries.
So you don't mind if he lives with the fan? Who's got Xbox and cable? That's what he said.
Honestly, Michael, I don't know where most of our players do live.
You know? As long as he's got a DVD player to play the DVDs.
Oh. As long as they're here on time, they're ready to work when they come in the building, they go out and perform well.
And the fan doesn't show up with them.
Right. How you doing, Coach?
I once said I could come. One final question before we let you go. Preseason game one to preseason game two, what changes? Do we see more of some of the veterans, a lot of the guys that we did not see in the first game, Bill?
Well, we will evaluate all the players and do what we feel is best for the individual players and the team. So some of the guys that didn't play as much last week will play more. Some of the guys might play about the same amount. Some players are, in order to get a good look at everybody, some players will, you know, that had playing time last week will get less playing time this week and vice versa. So we'll do it on an individual basis, you know, what we feel is best for that player, what we need from that player, and at the same time try to build up a little bit of continuity with our unit, so it's not just a mix and match type of thing, just, you know, one of these, one of that. I mean, we want to try to get our players playing together, but sometimes that's not always possible. We'll just do the best we can.
What kind of fines do players get for not showing up, like Brewski today? What kind of fine would he get?
Well, in the new CBA, that's pretty close to $10,000. It's $9,700 or something like that. Yeah.
Wow. We'll send you the bill, Teddy.
Yeah, being late's in the 1700 range, and missing's in the like 9600 range or something
like that. I'll have a check next week.
Okay.
He will be here next week live. You will as well. Bill, it's great to have football back. It's great to have you back here on the Big Show. We're happy.
All right, thanks, Glenn Michael. Yeah. Teddy, thanks, I'll see you next week.
All right, buddy.
In studio next week, Teddy. You know how to get here, right?
I do.
Stadium good. We'll see you next week. Teddy Brewski,
all right, Teddy,
on the phone line.
Bill.
Quick break, and then we're right back at you here on the Big Show.